It's nice to see everyone here this morning. My name is Susan Van Riesen, and I'm one of the people on the preaching team here at the Vineyard, and it's great to see you today. For those of you who are new or visiting, as Alfred said, we're on a series in the life of David, looking at the theme of listening to God and growing in our lives of being able to hear from God and communicate with God this summer. I actually listened to the last three sermons online, all in one shot recently, because recently I've been with my son on Sunday mornings, and it's hard to be here and listen to the sermons. And so I just found some time and listened to three of them in a row, and it was profoundly good for me. And I just realized, wow, it's really great to hear the Word of God when you can receive it and connect it to our lives. And, you know, the last two sermons have been on the story of David and Goliath. And I was really surprised by how much connection and deep meaning it had for me. You know, most people know the story of David and Goliath. My 4 and 5-year-old are just learning that, and they're just really excited. Oh, I know that story. But it really struck me that there's a lot of depth there. And so if you haven't heard the last couple of sermons, I really want to encourage you to listen to it online on our church website. Today, we're going to look at what happens in the life of David immediately after the story of David and Goliath in chapters 18 through 20. Now, things get to be even crazier in the life of David. It begins to feel a little bit more like a TV drama or a telenovela or a Korean drama. So I'm just going to ask you, how many people here watch telenovelas or Korean dramas? Raise your hand, be proud. So telenovelas, obviously in the Spanish, often in Spanish, Korean dramas, often in Korean. They're a genre of TV entertainment that it's a story that goes on for about 20 or 30 episodes, and then it stops. So it's not like, you know, Law and Order that goes on for 14 years or something. There's certain episodes and then it stops. And those of us who are into telenovelas or Korean dramas know that they're full of drama, just full of tears and joy and cancer and ups and downs and loyalty, betrayal, murder, rage, love, secret communication, redemption. It's all like packed into 20 or 30 episodes. It's very dramatic and emotional genre. When we go to my mother's house in Oregon, we often watch Korean dramas. And my husband, who is not Korean, he's Caucasian, he loves to watch them, even though he often cannot understand a thing. Actually, they often have the subtitles now, but before they didn't. And I remember one time we were visiting my mom, and I was finishing things up with the kids upstairs, walked downstairs, and there's Alex, my husband, and my mother, intently watching this one episode of a Korean drama, which did not have subtitles. You know, just like, you know, drinking their Diet Coke or tea and just really into it. I think I said something, nobody answered. You know, that kind of like, be quiet, we're watching this Korean drama. And I remember asking him, so how is it that you're so into this? And he replied, it's a Korean drama. You can just tell what's going on. In fact, recently, my girls who watch my mom watch Korean drama asked me, why is there so much crying in this show? I'm like, that's just what they are. They're Korean dramas. David's life in these three chapters remind me of a Korean drama or a telenovela, except that David's story also focuses on the presence of the living God in the midst of these things. And this is a huge section, so I'm not going to read or explain every element of what goes on, but I just want to summarize by focusing on a couple key themes. First of all, one of the major themes that goes on in these three chapters is that many people come to love and greatly appreciate David. In 1 Samuel 18, verses 6 and 7, it says, as they were coming home when David returned from killing the Philistine, that's Goliath, the women came out of all the towns of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with a tambourine, with songs of joy and with musical instruments. And the women sang to one another as they made merry, Saul has killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. So people are jazzed about David. He's this great military leader who's doing all these wonderful things for the sake of his people, Israel. Also, in chapter 18, Saul's son, Jonathan, bonds deeply with David. And as a covenant of friendship with him, gives David his own clothes and his honor as an expression of his loyalty and his commitment to David. Also, in chapter 18, Saul's daughter, Michal, falls in love with him and is given to David as his wife. So on top of the military success, there's a lot of adoration and adulation and affirmation going on for David. But on the other hand, my second theme is that things are not good in David's relationship with King Saul. King Saul is not very excited about the fact that women are singing songs comparing King Saul and David and liking David a lot more. Also, one day when David's trying to calm Saul, who's not doing well, and David's playing the lyre, trying to calm him down, that's one of the things that David did, Saul tries to kill David by throwing a spear at him. This must have been disturbing. Then in 1 Samuel 19, verses 11 through 17, Saul has his messengers circle David's house to keep watch over him, planning to kill him in the morning. Now, this is quintessentially one example of how crazy David's life is at this point. And I can totally see something like this in a historical Korean drama. David's in his own home. He and his wife are aware that his life is in mortal danger. They're up at night. The daughter, Michal, has to sneak David out through the window and make a dummy out of goat's hair and clothes to try to deceive the messengers who are trying to kill him and tell him that he's sick so that that's why he can't get out. And then when Saul finds out what happens, he says to his own daughter, David's wife, "Why did you do this?" And Michal has to say, "He threatened to kill me if I didn't." Of course, that's not true, but what can you say when your dad is trying to kill your husband? So there is an intense amount of relational tension and conflict going on for David. Thirdly, this craziness goes on as Saul continues to chase David. Finally, David goes to Jonathan, his friend, Saul's son, and says in 1 Samuel 20, verse 1, "What have I done? What is my guilt? And what is my sin against your father that he is trying to take my life?" In other words, dude, what is going on with your father? I mean, do you realize he's trying to kill me? Now, Jonathan doesn't quite believe it. He has advocated for David in the past with his father. He's gone to his father, and his father has promised him, "No, I'm not trying to kill David. I will not try to kill David." But still, Jonathan needs to know for sure. So he comes up with a complicated and yet brilliant scheme to figure out if Saul is really trying to kill David. Turns out Saul is totally trying to kill David. So then Jonathan devises an equally brilliant and complicated plan to communicate with David about what is going on. They have a very emotional time of grief and recommitment to each other before David has to run off again and live a life on the run. So there's just a lot packed in these stories. I encourage you to read it for yourself. Very interesting stuff. In summary, David is loved by a lot of people and gets a lot of affirmation. But he has lots of tension with King Saul. And life gets more and more crazy as Saul continues to go after him and try to kill him. So David's life goes from triumphant and glorious to deeply distressing and overwhelmingly chaotic. This is the life of a guy who spent most of the first part of his life in sheep fields, taking care of sheep and writing poetry and becoming a good musician of the lyre. It was a simple life, a good life. I'm guessing that David did not expect his life to become like this, for him to become this greatly beloved military leader with complex relationships in the king's family and having to live life on the run because the king wants to kill him. David's life at this point could be described as complicated. His life at this point could be described as complicated. And you know, there are seasons of life that are just complicated, aren't there? Seasons of life, maybe it's not, your life is not quite like David's, but still complicated because it just feels kind of crazy or intense or hard to explain. Maybe people around you are acting all weird in ways that you've never experienced before, or doing strange things, or you find yourself in a situation that you never thought you'd be in before. Or maybe where once you were affirmed and praised, you're viewed with suspicion and distrust. Life can be complicated, can't it? A few months ago was the last time I spoke in church. I think it was about 7 weeks ago. And that week, as I was preparing to speak at church, I was spending a good amount of time preparing my sermon. A couple of my kids were sick, so I was dealing with that. But I was also distracted because I kept sensing some relational tension with a friend that I was corresponding with by email. You ever experience that where you're just, you know, you're in on email and you just realize, oh, I feel something. There's something going on here. I'm not sure what it is because this is email. Then I felt it with another friend and then another. And I remember thinking, really? Is this really happening to me? And it just kept, I was kind of making over trying to get it resolved, and it kept not getting resolved. It kept getting a little bit more complicated. And just a note, I realized that I really, really understand why Alex, the lead pastor of our church, strongly encourages people to not have and resolve conflict online. Turns out that email is not a very good vehicle for resolving conflict. So anyhow, by Saturday morning, my life was feeling stressful and complicated. Now, thank God, everything did get resolved by Saturday evening. But I did find at that time that life, when life is complicated, it can be difficult to stay close to God. You know what I mean? When life is complicated, it can be difficult to stay close to God. It was so easy for me to be distracted by the anxiety of my personal unresolved relational tensions rather than to focus on the things that God had for me and prayerful preparation of my sermon. When life is complicated, I find that you can just get into survival mode. Like you're just being pushed forward by the power of adrenaline. You're like a shark in the water. Gotta keep going, gotta keep going. Don't stop, just keep moving forward. And you feel like you don't even have time to think, much less stop and pray and reflect and listen to God. But the problem is, you cannot last very long in that mode without receiving from God, without experiencing physical, emotional, and spiritual exhaustion. If you don't connect with God and hear from God, you will end up feeling alone and empty. And you will start losing the ability to be gracious and generous. And the fruit of living through complicated seasons without receiving from God will be grumpiness and gloominess and losing touch with the things that are most important to you. And yet, the legacy of David, Mr. Complicated, Stressful Life, is that he does turn out to be a man after God's own heart. Earlier in the passage, it says, when God says, oh, I don't think I want Saul anymore. I want a man who's after God's own heart. And David does. He ends his life with a soft heart and a strong love for God. He ends his life with a soft heart and a strong love for God. And it turns out, even in the scriptures, that is not an easy thing to do. Read the end of the story. It's true that David finishes well. So here's what I want to know. I want to know, how is it that David goes through a very complicated life and still stays connected with God? How is it that David has all this thrown at him and yet still stays faithful to God? How does David hang in there with God even when his life is very complicated? Well, we see some of the answers to that in Psalm 59. Because Psalm 59 is a psalm that David wrote when Saul ordered David's house to be watched. Remember that scripture that I talked about? In order to kill David back in Psalm 19, verse 11. So again, picture the scene with me. David is in the midst of a very stressful situation. He and his wife are hunkering down, knowing that he could be killed the next day. Just imagine the adrenaline that's coursing through his body. What is he going to do? Well, we have evidence that one of the things he does that night is to sit down and write poetry. He writes a psalm. And in this psalm, we see that David is intent on doing two things. He's expressing with raw honesty where he is at, and he remembers who God is. Let me read parts of Psalm 59. Deliver me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who work evil, from the bloodthirsty. Save me. Each evening they come back howling like dogs and prowling about the city. There they are, bellowing with their mouths, with sharp words on their lips, for who they think will hear us. But you laugh at them, O Lord, and you hold all the nations in derision. O my strength, I will watch for you, for you, O God, are my fortress. My God in his steadfast love will meet me. My God will let me look in triumph on my enemies. I will sing of your might. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been a fortress for me and a refuge in the day of my distress. In my strength, I will sing praises to you. For you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. Raw honesty and remembering who God is. This is a huge part of how David deals with the complexities of his life, how he remains a person who is connected to God and listens to God. You know, you can't hear God unless the channels of communication are open. And the first step is to be honest with God, to be opened up to God. Another way of saying this is that most of us cannot listen to God unless we have the experience of being listened to by God. As humans, we need to know that God deeply cares about us and what is truly on our hearts and minds. But it can't be just about us expressing ourselves to God and God listening to us. We can't just stop there, because we have to grasp who it is that we are in relationship with. And that is what David does in Psalm 59. He pours his heart out to God about the very specific situation that he's in, and he brings to remembrance who God is. He remembers that God is his shield and his fortress and his strength and his steadfast love. David is honest with God about where he's at, and he remembers the truth about God. I was thinking that actually this is the heart of worship, isn't it? This is the heart of worship, being opened up to God, being honest before God, and remembering who God is, saying, God, here I am. This is where I'm at. And Lord, there you are. This is who you are. That's the heart of worship. And of course, neither one of these is for God's sake. God doesn't need the information download about where we're at. He knows. And God doesn't need to be reminded of who he is. He is very well aware of who he is. But we are the ones who need to know that God listens and that he cares and that he is our strength and that he's our deliverer. Because we are the ones who struggle through the complicated situations that life brings. I have a friend named Rachel who was recently diagnosed with stomach cancer. She's in her mid-30s, and she has two little girls, ages 5 and 3. Rachel lives in another state, so we've been keeping up through Facebook and email and phone calls and a website called Caring Bridge, which is a website that people with serious illnesses, to serve people with serious illnesses to keep up with friends and family online. So the thing that strikes me about Rachel, as I've kept up with her in various ways in these past 4 months, is how honest she is. And it doesn't feel like raging or whining. It just feels really, really honest. And the other thing I see about Rachel is that she is someone who's working really hard to keep hold on who God is. And she doesn't know exactly how things are going to turn out in the big picture or in the day to day. But she is absolutely hanging on to God every day. The last time I spoke to her on the phone, she said that her best days, her best times, have been when she was feeling well enough to be able to go to Bible study, or when someone was reading scripture to her, because it helps her to remember who God is. My friend Rachel's life is complicated. Even beyond the chemotherapy and the pain and the radiation and the side effects and juggling the needs of her two little girls and relationships with people all around her who are having their own responses to her illness. But she is being honest with God and remembering who God is. And that is making all the difference. You know, members of Rachel's extended family who have not previously been open to God are really opening up to God. I met Rachel close to 20 years ago, back in college. And since that time that I met her, she's been praying for this one family member. And that one family member has not been open to God ever, his whole life. But now he's asking questions. He's being opened up to God in all new ways because he sees how Rachel is handling her cancer. Because they see a life of someone who can stay connected to God, who's grasping onto God, who is being honest with God, and who's remembering who God is, who can stay connected to God and hear from God and know that she's loved by God even in the midst of the most difficult situation that she's ever been in. Rachel's life speaks of God because she has a foundation of being open to God and remembering who God is. Her heart, her attitude, her resilience, these things speak of God. I hope my life is like that. Now and in the years to come when I face the difficulties that will surely come. Now I realize that many of us are not facing the medical crisis that my friend Rachel is. And your life may not be like the life of David. You may not feel like your life is a telenovela or a Korean drama right now. But we all go through seasons of our life that are stressful and complicated. Overwhelming, unexpected. People are doing things that you never thought would happen. Your life is a little too complex to really explain very well. And it is especially during those seasons, but also in the simple times as well, that we need to do the two things that we see David doing. We need to be honest with God about how we are doing, and we need to remember who God is. For the past few weeks, I've been trying to do this thing in the morning before I get out of bed. I'm trying to ask myself, how am I doing? And just being honest with God about how I'm doing at the very beginning of the day. And then I try to think about one thing that I know to be true about God. And I try to meditate on that and express that back to God. So I might wake up and before I get out of bed, I say, God, I am feeling anxious about my son Joshua's summer school class right now. That's the thing that pops into my mind as I wake up. I'm just trying to be honest with God about that. And then I'll say, God, you are the creator of every person on this planet, including the teachers of Joshua's summer school class. Just that very specific thing that's going on in my life. And I'm trying to do some version of this at least once or several times throughout the day, every day this summer. And honestly, I think it's made me a more peaceful mom. As a result, I'm not a perfect mom, but I think I'm a better mom, a slightly more rooted, slightly more peaceful and patient mom, because I'm trying to be honest with God and remember who God is in the very specific needs of my life. And I would love to invite you to join me in doing this summer. And I know that summer is partly over and summer is full of complicated schedules and it's kind of a complicated time, but I would like to invite you to take steps into a deeper life with God for the rest of the summer. I think we have about 2 months left from now till Labor Day, which is when a lot of us think summer's over. And I would like to invite you to pray every day for the rest of the summer. And particularly pray being honest with God and remembering who God is. And then asking God for what you need off of those two things. Consider this a prayer challenge or an invitation to walk with Susan in what she is feeling challenged by. It might feel like writing poetry, just a poem every day. Or finding a place in your home or office to have a 10-minute retreat once or a couple times throughout the day. It might look like praying in your car before you walk in to your house at the end of the workday. There are going to be as many different ways of connecting with God as there are people in this room, because we all have our unique ways that we need to stop and connect with God. But if you take a risk and pray every day, I believe with all my heart that God will give you tremendous gifts. Deeper relationship with Him, more rootedness, more peace, direction, and the ability to hear God better. You know, we're doing that, having that theme, listening to God. And I think because those of us who are planning that theme realized we want to be able to hear from God better. That's just a great desire of our hearts. In the big picture of David's life, he was able to make it through the complexities of life because he was able to hear God. He heard from God. He was able to listen to God. How many people here in this room would like to be able to hear from God more in their lives? Anyone? Anyone want good direction? Anyone want more wisdom for your life? Anyone need constant encouragement and security? Anyone need that? When I think about it, I thirst for it with a great desperation. I want that so much, His comfort and wisdom that God gives when we're able to hear from Him. And you know, even if you're not currently a follower of Jesus right now, I would still love to invite you to try this. Take some time every day to express to God, as much of God as you know, where you're really at, spiritually, emotionally, physically, whatever, how you're doing, and then think about who God is for as much of God as you know. Wherever you're at in your spiritual life, if you do this every day for 2 months till Labor Day, not that you should stop praying at Labor Day, that shouldn't be our great community prayer stop, but at least as a challenge from now till Labor Day, if you do these two things every day, I'm willing to bet you that you will grow significantly and in unexpected ways in your life with God, and particularly in your ability to hear God. It's just about keeping the channel open, truly open with God. And it doesn't take having, you know, 2 hours every day of deep, profound, focused prayer. If that's what it takes, then I'm not going to make it at this time in my life. That's just not going to happen. But I would like to pray every day in a way that's real and doable for me, and to stay honest before God, remembering who God is. Would you go for that with me this summer? Now think about that. Would you consider just praying and being honest with God and remembering who God is every day? And if this is not for you, please be released. If this is not where you're at, be released to pursue God in other ways. But I think that there are some people here, when I said that, you went, ooh, that's for me. Let's go for it together. I'd like to end my sermon this morning by asking, where do you need to start? And I've said that David does two things that are important. He's honest with God, and he remembers who God is. Which one do you need more, need to pursue more? I mean, pursue both for sure, but which one do you need more of, need to grow in more right now? And we don't usually do this, but I'm just going to ask, would you turn to one or two people right next to you and answer that question? And if you feel like, I can't answer that question because I need time to think, then feel free to pass or just listen to the person, the other person who might want to share. But get in groups of two or three just for a few minutes and answer this question above. Which one is harder for you? Which one do you want to grow in more? Take a few minutes and I'll gather us back together in a second. Would you join me as I close our time in prayer together? And actually, if you know now that you really want God to help you to pray every day for the rest of the summer, just as we close our eyes and we connect with God now together as a community, would you open your hands before you just as a sign of, Lord, I want to be able to pray every day. I want to be able to be honest with you. Lord, would you come and fill us with power by your Holy Spirit? Lord, you know that we don't even have the strength to be in relationship with you by ourselves. Lord, we're so easily distracted. Lord, we so easily disconnect from you. But come, Lord God, and help us, especially those here who know today, oh, I want to pray every day this summer. I just want that. And Lord, for those who really want to hear more from you, I just pray that you would pour out the gifts that you long to give. Give the ability to hear from you, a more clear discernment of your voice, Lord. Help us, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to be able to hear you and to listen to you. And Lord, let that begin by us plugging into you every day. And by being honest with you, as David is, about what our life situation is at, where our life situation is at, and remembering who you are. Lord, I just want to thank you so much for being a strong tower, for being a fortress, and for being a deliverer. Lord, for being the God of steadfast love. Lord, all these things are true about you, but they fade as we go through our days. So we need help from you. Lord, you say that your Holy Spirit, one of the things your Holy Spirit does is to bring to remembrance all the things that you've taught. And we just ask that that would be true, that you would bring to remembrance who you are and how you've taught us about who you are. Lord, we ask for more crystal clarity. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. And one last thing I'd like to say is, as we enter into a time of worship, we as a community like to make space for God to speak not only to us as individuals, but for us as a community. So as we're in a time of musical worship, if you feel like you're hearing something from God that's supposed to be shared to the community, would you come down here and chat with one of the pastors, and they'll discern together with you how it is that that could be shared, because we want to hear from God. There is no safer place than hearing from God. So as we enter into worship, I just want to invite you to begin now of having an honest heart before God, remembering who God is. Amen.